Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 9 to 11 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But before I read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 9 to 11, let me just give you Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, familiar verse. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13 says, "But exhort one another," or encourage one another, "every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." So as we come to our time of confession today, I want to think about encouraging each other consistently, you know, regularly, every day. We need to be encouraging each other. With that in our minds, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting in verse 9. Please hear this public reading of God's word. "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." Verse 11 again, with Hebrews 3:13 in mind. "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." That first word there of verse 11, "therefore," is a key word, meaning there is something that has come before this. Now, in light of what I've just said, now we need to encourage each other. So what has come before this? Verses 9 and 10, which again say this, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." So therefore, in light of the gospel, we are to encourage each other every day and build one another up, essentially. That's what he's saying if you take Hebrews 3:13 in this passage, but that therefore is crucial. So one of the things that happens when we live in light of the gospel is the gospel should motivate us out to encourage each other and to build one another up. That is what should happen. So as we think about this idea of encouraging each other regularly and consistently, what are some practical ways that we can better encourage each other more consistently? And I'm stealing this from a talk I heard by a guy named Ed Moore, gave a fantastic talk on this passage, and he gave three application points. Number one, he said, we can encourage each other and build one another up by praying with and for each other is a wonderful way to encourage each other and to build each other up. And the story he told was that he had to go in for hip replacement surgery, and he said he was watching YouTube videos of hip replacement surgeries the night before. He said, "Don't do that. Don't watch videos," he said. So he's feeling with anxiety going into the hospital, and he's filling out all this paperwork at the hospital, and one of the questions was, "Where do you work?" And he named the Baptist church that he worked at, and the guy said, "Are you a pastor?" He said, "Yes, I am." So he motioned over to a lady, a nurse, and said, "Come over this way," and he whispered into her ear, "This guy is a pastor." She said, "Okay," and she came over to him. She put her hands on him, and she began to pray, and Ed Moore said it was one of the most God-honoring, effectual prayers that he has heard, and as she prayed, the peace of God, which passes understanding, just sort of filled him with the peace of God, just because this sister in Christ prayed for him. So what a way to encourage each other is just praying with and for each other. Number two, he said, the way we can encourage each other is by giving gospel reminders. He said, we're just so prone to forget the gospel, so we need to be reminding each other of the gospel. He said his kids sometimes will tell him as he's driving home, "Dad, you forgot the gospel in your sermon." And he'll say, "Wait a minute, did I?" He said, "Yes, I did." So we need to remind each other of gospel truth. The story about this is from my wife. Liliana and I were having lunch together a couple of years ago, and during our lunch, she told me about a message that she had listened to from R.C. Sproul. It was a very powerful message about Abraham and Isaac, when Abraham was asked to sacrifice Isaac. And she's recounting this story to me from Sproul's message. And as she is talking to me about this message from Sproul, the gospel is washing over me again, and tears are filling my eyes as I am being moved once again by the gospel. And as soon as I heard it, I went and listened to the R.C. Sproul talk, and I listened to multiple parts over and over again, and I said, I've got to tell other people. I've got to use this. Black Mountain was coming up, and I used that story at Black Mountain. And then I preached on John 3:16, and I used that story about the two dogs, Hosanna and Hallelujah. Those were the two dogs that he had. You may remember that story. But I would never have told that story to those men at Black Mountain and to this church if my wife would not have told me and given me that gospel reminder. So we should be reminding each other of the gospel, and that should be spreading throughout our people. The last thing he said, we can encourage each other by looking for evidences of grace in other Christians and then pointing out those evidences of grace in other believers. And he told this story. He said he was speaking at a conference, sort of a mini conference, and there were other ministers with him. And there was one other minister in particular who spoke. And after this man spoke, Ed Moore sent him a text message, just a very quick, short text message, something like, "Thank you for faithfully bringing the word. It was encouraging. I'm proud of you." He said that was about it. 6 months later, they're at another event. Same guy is there with Ed Moore. And after this man's talk again, Ed Moore said, "I sent him a second text message just saying, thank you for faithfully serving us this morning. I was encouraged by your talk. I'm proud of you." As soon as he sent that text, this other man came over to Ed Moore and said, "6 months ago, you sent me that text message. I showed it to my wife, and my wife and I, we wept. We wept when we read that text message. You see, my father is not a Christian, and no man in my entire life has said that they were proud of me." He said, "And you said it 6 months ago, and now you've encouraged me again, and I am overcome with emotion," he said. And Ed Moore said, "I want to say why. Here is a faithful minister who is preaching faithfully, and his people are not encouraging him." He said, "Why is it so hard for us to see evidences of grace and then say something to them to encourage them? We're not flattering people. That's sinful. We're simply seeing how God has equipped brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, and then we're telling them how God has equipped them, and then we're thankful for them." I just think of Wes and Holly, for example. They will not want me to say this, but Wes and Holly are so clearly gifted with the gift of service, and they serve our church faithfully and humbly behind the scenes. And this would, in terms of encouraging each other, we simply go to Wes and Holly and we say, "Wes and Holly, God has clearly gifted you with the gift of service. We are so grateful for you guys and for how you are using your gift. Thank you for the way you serve our church." And if we would just do that more consistently, I think that would be a tremendous wave of encouragement would come through us. Therefore, in light of the gospel, we should encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So are we? Are we living in light of the gospel and then being motivated out to encourage each other? I'll give you a few moments to pray silently and I'll close this in prayer. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has died for us. Thank you for the good news of the gospel, Father. Father, I pray that we would live more in light of the gospel, and I pray that the gospel would motivate us out to encourage each other more consistently, more regularly than we are doing now. Forgive us, Father, when we fail to just simply pray with and for each other. Father, forgive us for withholding sort of gospel reminders when we have been helped by things. Forgive us for holding on to those things and not passing those things along to other brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, forgive us for when we clearly see evidences of grace in other Christians. Forgive us when we simply fail to say that to them, to point those evidences of grace out and to thank them for whatever ways that they are serving our body. Father, help us to be more faithful to encourage brothers and sisters in Christ more consistently and more regularly. But Father, we're thankful that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're thankful that you've cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. Father, help us to live in light of the gospel. Father, even as we sing this next song, I pray that you would use it to stir our affections for you. And I pray you'd be with Mark as he teaches, that you'd come by your Spirit. Help us to be attentive to the preaching of your word, and help us to apply your word to our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.